If you go to Eugène van Deventer's WhatsApp profile pic, you'll see a guy sitting in a yellow tub, holding a phone to his ear with his dark glasses on, looking very nonchalant. And the whole background is 5 million shelves of little duckies. So, Eugène, hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Janine?
Fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. It must be because you've got something to do with duck soup. But why would you take a picture like that one?
So our company's name that my wife and I own is called Duck Soup Productions. So we had this one event where there was this room full of ducklings, little rubber ducks, and a bathtub. So I decided I think my profile pic would look good if I'm surrounded by a little bit of rubber ducks, you know. And it's a good icebreaker on WhatsApp as well. Everybody's like, oh, cool profile pic. And I'm like, yeah. That's duck soup.
Yeah. And you've got no problem with your masculinity. Now, I mean, you don't have to prove anything.
No,
you can sit in a yellow tub.
Suave and charisma. Yes.
Okay, well, let's introduce you as the guy, the one at home, because I can now read the. You just have a listen to this. The man is a worship leader, a teacher, a preacher, youth development, strategic planning, administration, coordination, embedded software engineer, and that's not enough. Digital content creation specialist. Okay, let's just introduce the normal guy. That guy at home, before you've got a smile for the cameras, who are you, Eugène?
I'm a father and a follower of Jesus. I think when I wrote those, those job descriptions on all my profile pages is when I was still young and arrogant. And now I've just been too lazy to go change them. So now I'm a business owner and my focus is now my family and, of course, you know, following Jesus.
Boy or a girl? What age?
I've got two children. My eldest daughter is 10 years old and my son is 8 years old.
And what does your wife do? She's also with you in the business.
Yeah. So she actually started the business and when I was a missionary. And then when she fell pregnant with my daughter 10 years ago, we decided, all right, let's combine forces and continue, you know, from home. So it's easier to look after kids and less on the road, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got stuck in her business. Now she runs the one department which does weddings and I do the other department that does the corporate side of things. Yeah.
So do you ever see one another? Because weddings is on weekends and corporate.
No, the whole time. But luckily we've got a lovely staff that does the work. I myself and my wife as well, we don't physically do the execution anymore. You know, when you get to that stage in your life where you don't work in your business anymore, and you're working on your business, where we've been blessed enough that we're in that stage now. So mostly admin.
No.
That's what we do.
Eugène, you're just not an admin person. I mean, I've known you as being creative, music-wise, just anything. Doesn't that frustrate you if you just got to have the boring bits of the business?
Yeah, because that's actually very true because I do procrastinate admin so much. So I leave it to the very last, you know, when it really gets critical. Sometimes my clients get upset with me, but I just tell them, don't worry. I'll send you the paperwork tomorrow. But the execution is still pretty and creative. Yeah, we like the pretty things, the creative things, yes.
Well, the reason we're talking is because of that song of yours, We Believe. That's on the Beyond Music, the new album. But you've known these guys forever. I mean, you guys come from Potch, or do you come from Seekruis, as in even further back with 13th Floor?
So it's funny how the Lord works. I never was in 13th Floor as a team member.
But Retief my was. Path,
yes, Retief was. So what happened was I met Retief on my first year's camp. Actually, this even more earlier than that. I saw this one teenage boy said, oh, there's this church in Potchefstroom, Kruispunt. You must go check them out. The music's amazing. So I went and then I saw Lisa Liversage and Retief on stage. I didn't know who they were. And that was just mind-blowing for me to see how these people worship in a different way. And at that stage, I wasn't saved yet. I didn't know Jesus. I was very religious, but I wasn't a born-again Christian. So I lived the religious lifestyle, but something was different at this church. So I decided, I'm going to go to their first year camp. And of course, my goal at that first year camp was to get as many girlfriends as possible. And then the Lord said, the only person that I want you to fall in love with is me. And that's when Retief and the Crespin people in Potchefstroom led me to Christ. And that's how Retief and I became really good friends. And then all of a sudden, engineering, you know, one of the things you listed was embedded software engineering or programming. I'd finished my degree, did really well, but I didn't end up in engineering. I then went to go work 13th floor. So that's where the full circle was. I became a staff member, ran the music department and the technical department. And then I just got stuck meeting all these people. I met Lindri there in Potchefstroom as well, and Jonathan, the head of one of our churches here. So it's so full circle. I think the Lord just knows how to speak to a person and place, if you're humble enough, he will place you in the right circumstances just to worship and honor him. And so I can't take credit for anything and all these people that I've met at all, because it looks like it's divinely been orchestrated.
We're going to get to the album just now. I'm just fascinated with how all these Potchefstroom people then ended up in Pretoria, in Gauteng, doing church and doing Every Nation, because Every Nation is another way of thinking as well. I mean, the whole discipleship thing, the whole focus that every church member has got an actual responsibility, that's not normal, safe church at all.
No, I think each church and each congregation, you know, has their own mission. You know, God has all these ships and all these congregations that have a certain direction to go. And I think we've been commissioned to focus more on discipleship. And there's this scripture in Ephesians 4 from verse 11 that says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the priests, and the shepherds to equip the saints. And who are the saints? We are the saints. To do what? To do the ministry. So everyone who goes to church is actually a minister. And Every Nation's angle is like, all right, so vocational ministers and people who work full-time for the church aren't there to create disciples. They're there to equip the saints to make disciples. And therefore, you get huge participation in people just wanting to build the kingdom of God, and not all the pressure is solely on the vocational ministers, but on us as congregation. And, you know, the way for people to commit to Christ is just give them responsibility, and then they will lay down, you know, their lives as living sacrifices and pick up those crosses to build the kingdom. And the fruit's been amazing, you know, and I'm so thankful to be part of a spiritual family that has equipped me in a way that even me, that didn't study, you know, anything vocationally in the ministry side of things, can actually just go out and talk to people about Jesus without fearing about what I have to say or what, you know, convincing them in all these long debates. You know, people can always debate about Jesus and then nobody gets closer to Jesus. All they do is just fight. So we just love and show people Jesus. And that's what's so cool about Every Nation. I feel where God has added us. Is that they've equipped us to do that. And without fear, we can just tell people about Jesus.
So are you a worship leader at your congregation?
Indeed, I am. I am a worship leader at the Every Nation Lynnwood congregation. I'm also fearfully an elder at that congregation. sometimes wonder why God put me in that position, because sometimes my mouth can run off and I say things that I shouldn't say, but at least I'm honest and I get reprimanded. But yeah, no, we are at Every Nation Lynnwood, which comes together at Lynnwood Law School, which is great because we're in the community and we've also got an orphanage there in the Lynnwood area, which is fantastic. So we're just reaching out in the community there. And yes, I lead worship and I'm an elder at that congregation.
So I did notice that there are various Every Nation churches, and music seems to be a strong theme, that it's something that they enjoy doing as part of their worship, and that there might even be a little competition when it comes to the music that comes forth out of the different congregations. It sounded like, you know, humorous little everyone seeing one another as having something to contribute.
What's nice is I won't say there's too much hubris in competition. I think when we started off like 4 or 5 years ago, we felt we needed to, you know, prove ourselves as songwriters, etc. But between Retief Burger and Lindri Atkins, we got together and got a model together about how we write songs. So what we would do is we'd do songwriting workshops, teach people how to write songs across all the congregations in Tshwane. And then we, when there's time to really go and sit and write songs, we go for a weekend or so, we do a breakaway and we break into groups and we write collaboratively. So all the worship leaders and songwriters get together. I think the last time we were 12 songwriters and worship leaders that went on the breakaway. And then we just, you know, write together. So now there's no more, you know, oh, this was this person's song or this was this person's songs. We go like, all right, this year we're focusing on what is our theme for this year? And let's go pray into that and get a prophetic word into that and get scripture off that. And then we go right in that vein. And this year's theme was We Believe, which was our global theme of international Every Nation churches about We Believe. What do we as Every Nation believe? And then the album just birthed from that. And I must say, it's so freeing to see people that are humble, you know, just, hey, yes, this is what I bring. This is my gold. This is my frankincense. This is my myrrh. And it all smells and looks beautiful to God because that's what we did. We laid it at the feet of Jesus, you know, the manger throne. And then, you know, beautiful things come because people are selfless, you know. Sometimes it is tough when you have to decide, hey, are we going to make it more upbeat song or a slower song or a, you know, but then there's Gideon Boortus, the amazing Gideon Boortus that just says he vetoes it. No, we'll do it this way. And then we're all like, yes, we listen, Gideon. Thank you, Gideon. Gideon knows. So there's enough structure in place to keep the hubris, you know, calm.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I am curious about one thing because obviously every artist that brings his talent has got a sound, has got a, you know, a kind of way that they do music. And obviously when you bring your little bit to a group like this, then who decides what the music sounds like that goes out? Because Gideon obviously as producers got his way of doing things. But I mean, Lindri, all of you are very talented. Do you want a little bit of yourself in there or do you have a brand new sound that is known as Beyond Music?
I think automatically when you choose a producer, a sound is also, you know, embedded in that album, which is, you know, Gideon's flavor. Ultimately, between Retief Burger and Lindri Atkins, they are the executive producers. So when difficult decisions need to be made, we all submit it under them anyways, and we honor their decisions. Because ultimately, I think as we as artists grow, you know, emotionally and spiritually, we know that there are so many angles. There's an old saying that there are many ways to skin a cat, you know. There's many ways to approach a song. And ultimately, if the song and the lyrics and the melody is good, the production is easy. And then the song is king. There's this thing as artists, we say song is king. So, but if there's production things that slightly vary, we trust between Gideon and Retief and Lindri that that will be the best for the person or the congregation that has to sing these songs at the end of the day. Because it's outward focused. Everything we do is outward focused. It's easy to lay down our personal conceptions because ultimately, if we've got 12 songwriters and everyone wants their own opinion, you're going to have 12 different songs. So we do trust the leadership and we honor them in their decisions. And we can just testify that it's been beautiful. The album is absolutely beautiful, in my opinion.
No,
and it's touched
sure.
So many people. You know.
No, I'm just thinking each and everyone who was taking part in the album had a solo voice on their own, could have made their own albums. And now you come and you submit to a church, you know, to a greater group than yourself. There's a little dying to self going on right there that I think
definitely.
Is good for everyone.
Definitely. Of all the, there were six worship leaders, three of them have multiple albums out already. So on their own, in their own name, you know, Jason Ferreira has got his own solo career. Retief Burger has got his own solo career. Yulani, who goes as Joe Britton, has her own solo career. Even the drummer, has his own solo career, and the bassist that played has his own solo career. So it is really a collaborative effort. And I think it's spiritual family. It's family just coming together. We're all artists, and everyone, I've never worked on an album that was as smooth as this one in hindsight. If I think about it now, it's just because people were here to bring their, they didn't have to prove anything. I think half of them already proved themselves in their own, you know, for private capacity, so they didn't have to prove themselves in this album, except for me, maybe. Maybe I had to prove myself. Because
if I put myself in your shoes, I'm thinking if you're surrounded with people who are really acknowledged as seriously talented and have officially have their career and have their albums and that kind of thing, and here you come and you're on stage, aren't you self-conscious and a little daunted when it's an official CD recording and this song is actually your responsibility? You got to carry it.
Sure. Let me think about that. I think we've been brainwashed in the sense that this is not about us. You know, I think what happens after the recording, because you find like, wow, this was really nice. Maybe I should ask Gideon. Maybe can I do one or two of my own songs? I think so. After the fact, you're like, hey, I really enjoyed this so much. Maybe I can do more on my own as well. But then you get an WhatsApp from Lindy saying, hey, the next songwriting retreat is coming up. Are you in or are you out? And then I'm like, oh, it's so much easier just doing it with friends. So ultimately, you do think about that. But I don't think I was intimidated on the evening because, you know, you've got all these people that that are so experienced. They make you feel at ease, you know, from the Atterbury Theatre and Fuzz, his team, to Gideon and his team. It was really just so smooth. So there was no pressure to perform. I think after the fact, you get excited because, wow, this was really fun. And then you get the new email or WhatsApp from Lindy saying, oh, the next one's coming up. And then you're like, all right, I'm in. So you don't have time. Idle hands is the devil's playground. So I think
Lindy, you'll never let that happen.
we're not going to have idle hands with Lindy around. Yeah.
Okay. Before we get into the song and play the song, there's one question that I always ask everyone, because to me, you have got a revelation of God's character because of where you are in life at this moment, because of what you're reading, what you're going through, what you need from the Lord most at the moment is the part of him that when you worship, you're impressed with most, whether it's his patience or his romance or his sense of humor or whatever it is at this moment. If because of where you are right now, what would you say is of who he is that stands out for you most now?
So I just recently underwent surgery on my diaphragm, which is your singing, you know, the instrument, singing instrument. So I can't sing for a while. And so for me personally, in this past time, I'm on liquids only and I've been, you know, losing a lot of weight. But it's almost like going into a fasting, you know, phase. So I'm on week 3 now after my surgery and I've started writing letters to God. And the first week I could see like, oh wow, there's some unresolved things in my heart about God's character that popped up in these letters that I started writing to God. But as I progressed, I've got such a peace, you know, that transcends understanding. And there's a scripture, I think, in Philippians that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in thanksgiving and petition, make your anxieties known to God, and he'll give you a peace that transcends understanding.
That guards your heart, yeah.
Yes, and I've experienced that, and it's funny how your brain chemistry reacts to prayer and petition, but in an honest and thanksgiving way. You know, thankfulness and gratitude is one of the biggest healers of your body. So yes, I've lost a lot of weight, but I've gained so much peace in this time. And I've seen God's provision in all sorts of things, which doesn't, you know, necessarily comfort me in the sense that, oh, now I'm okay. It's more like, oh, wow, God, you're so amazing. Even if I'm not okay, this is going to be good for you and your kingdom. And that peace that transcends understanding, because sometimes when you're uncomfortable and your diaphragm hurts or you can't eat properly, even though in those times I can just see the glory of God shine through in a small thing as a letter, you know. So I'm very thankful for just his presence in my life currently.
Yeah. That's very precious. Okay, well, let's get to the song. The title track of the album, We Believe. Tell me the story, specifically what you want me to hear. Even the inspiration, yes, but what is it that you want me to hear when I listen to your song now?
Oh, it's very easy. It's John 14, and I will read John 14 for you, as in the NIV. John 14, verse 1 goes as follows. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, so that you may also be where I am, as you know the place where I am going. And that's just it's just an invitation of Jesus saying, you are my bride. And my Father's prepared a place for you, and we want you to come home. All you have to do is believe also in me.
Hmm. People want to follow you guys, stay up to date with Beyond Music's music.
All you have to do is go to Facebook or Instagram, Beyond Music. And then, all the links are in the profiles, and go listen to it. And we're also on YouTube. Go listen to the music. If you want to put it on repeat, it will really bless your soul.